Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Ooh.
Yes. As always, we have an esteemed colleague or guest, and we solve the beefs of our listener dears.
Can I ask, Tom, when you say esteemed colleague or guest, what's the distinction you're making in your mind there between the two? I hate to pick you up early doors, but so what? I'm really excited to know which category today's person falls into, because they're either
very
a guest.
Much a guest.
Yeah, I don't think we. I think this guy is properly comedy royalty. So I think for us to call him a colleague, even, we're not a peer, we're not colleagues of his. He is a legend, and he is definitely our guest. It's Michael Fenton Stevens, the brilliant Michael Fenton Stevens from Radioactive, from KYTV, from Only Fools and Horses. He is he's just such a delightful man, a brilliant brilliant guy. And if you haven't heard his podcast, My Time Capsule, it's really brilliant, and we'll leave a link to it in the show notes. What else is there to say? Apologies to people who've been sending us messages now. The Christmas show and apologies to all our colleagues and some of our guests. the Christmas show and the show before the Christmas show, they're all sold out now. If you want to get tickets, I would say the best way to do it is to just watch our Twitter, Pappy's Comedy. If you go to Twitter and look at our Twitter, like around the days leading up to it, because people always say I can't do it on the day, or they get sick or whatever. So go along to, we're not at Pappy's Comedy on Twitter, we're at Pappy's Tweet. Go to our Twitter, which is at Pappy's Tweet, and we will be retweeting anybody who said that they can't come along, and you can probably sort out tickets that way. That's the way to do it, or to join the waiting list on Eventbrite, which will alert you if anybody can't do it and gets a refund.
Or get a job at the Phoenix, working as bar staff.
That's a really good point. Get a job at the Phoenix. Do you know what, as well, I adore the Phoenix, but a couple more bar staff wouldn't go amiss, especially in the downstairs bar, especially when it's busy. So yeah, get yourself a job at the Phoenix, guys. I'm sure they're hiring. Phoenix Cavendish Square. I think it's inquiries at phoenixcavendishsquare.co.uk. But you could look it up yourselves. Get yourself a job down there and join the fun. One of the best seats in the house behind the bar.
Oh, it's lovely. Lovely.
It's where the booze is, certainly. So that's no bad thing. That's all sold out there. And that is pretty much that for Flat Slams in 2023.
What a year it was.
What a year it's
Let's not get into the end of year review yet.
Let's not get misty-eyed and nostalgic about the year. Let's just look ahead.
Sorry. I glimpsed the finishing line and just thought, God, yeah, wow. My natural broadcasting instincts kicked in. Just thought, yeah, let's review the year right here, right now.
You've got to. What have been your magic moments? Every episode from October onwards is going to be our review of the year.
Is there any chance I could switch from a guest?
Go on, Clarky, you're going to do it, Clarky. Clarky, you're going to do it, mate. I believe in you. Come on. Any chance I can switch from a guest to a colleague? Go on.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's hear it from Clarky. We're going
to
get this
colleague to a guest.
Do you know what? That was my highlight of the year. That was.
Yeah, thanks, absolutely.
Man, thanks.
2023, you bastard.
Anyway, let's crack on with this Beef Brothers Cold Cuts episode.
Just type that up in the edit if we could.
Yeah. There's a problem with recording the intros after we've recorded the whole episode. We're knackered. Just enjoy the episode. Bye.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
Cold Cuts.
So, Mike, we've got to ask you, before we get into the business of solving other people's beefs,
yeah,
what sort of a person are you to live with?
Well, I think I'm a very good person to live with. I'm quite malleable, which is good, isn't it? I'm not that particular about things. That makes a difference, doesn't it? You know, if you're one of those people who just goes, no, this is, we have to do it now. I always watch this program, and I always watch it in this chair. You know, I'm not the dad from the royal family who sat there and went, you know, this is what I watch and this is my chair. Now, I'm very movable in my life, and I'm used
almost
to change,
like a piece of furniture.
Very much like a piece of furniture, yes, and almost as interesting. I sort of entertain myself as well, actually. I'm quite happy to sort of something my father used to do, sit in the kitchen while my wife watches the television programs she wants to watch. Now, you would think, get another telly.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, I'm sort of relieved by the fact that she says, well, I'm watching, you know, MasterChef. And I go, well, I don't want to watch MasterChef. Why would I want to watch that? Why do you rely on their taste buds? That's what I always say to her. Why would you trust their taste buds? If you could taste it, I could understand you watching MasterChef, because you all get to the end of it, everybody tastes a bit and goes, they're the best. But you're not. You're relying on somebody else to taste it and go, well, that is fantastic. Oh, my word. You know.
So do you go to the kitchen and just taste everything in the kitchen then?
I'm going to cook my own food. I'm going to taste. I'm not trusting them. You know. Yeah. So what I do is I do Master Beer Drinker, the competition.
Oh,
go downstairs and test that out and make my own bloody decisions. I don't need John Tarrod to tell me what to drink. Thank you very much. But no, I think I'm all right. I do snore, obviously, a lot. My wife has suffered that for many years.
Have your wife? Have you been together a long time? Your wife and yourself?
A long time.
So, what are the phases? This, because my wife and I are in the kind of the first phase of her realizing how bad a snorer I am, and so we're still at the kind of waking up phase where she wakes me up cross. And I have to try and defend myself for something I haven't chosen to do.
you've got to defend yourself.
You wake up on the back foot being like, oh, I didn't know, you know. I'm just wondering, are there more phases? Are they, like, have you gone through that phase?
Yeah, there is a room of fuck off to another room.
Right, I've got that to look forward to, have I? I've got that to look forward to.
Fuck off back down to the kitchen and have some more beer.
Stop drinking beer and farting and snoring. That works,
man.
Yeah.
Those are my three favourite things to do.
I mean, I think that actually you can't possibly last that long without somebody's, you know, you being able to put up with the faults of the other person, because everybody has that. You know, so she does put up with it, but maybe she does because I have never had a workman come in here and decorate this house. Not in my entire years and years. We've been married for getting on for 45 years now, my wife and I.
Right.
And I've always decorated the house.
Is that because you don't trust around workmen? Or
I'm not paying someone to move a paintbrush up and down. Surely anybody can do that. And I do it. And I have to say, I did it really, really badly. The only time my wife ever decorated our house was just after we bought our first house. I live in Tunbridge Wells, and we were house hunting in all over London, looking for somewhere to live. And the house prices were ridiculous. I'm going to make you really angry now. They were so ridiculous. I mean, we couldn't afford anything over 30,000.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a deposit these days.
I love it. You know, and so I then, we went to visit a friend out near where I now live in Tunbridge Wells, and he took us to dinner in a house in Tunbridge Wells, and we were talking about this quandary, and the man we were having dinner with said, well, this house is on the market. And we said, how much is it? And he said, 27.
No.
And my wife said, we'll take it. And I said, don't you think we should look around first? Honestly, genuinely. And so we did look around this house, discovered it had two more floors than we thought. It was a townhouse.
Whoa.
And
it's been great having you on the podcast, anyway, Michael. Thanks very much.
Yes, that's it.
It's been a real pleasure.
Do you want to tell me about the other advantages of having been old and or, you know, about the fact that my pension is you know, triple locked and all that sort of thing? Let's just really make you upset. Anyway, we did buy it. We bought it for £27,500, and
wow.
About 3 weeks later, I did a commercial for Guinness, and they paid me £22,000. So you imagine how much that would be worth now. Wow. Unbelievable. And then I went to Australia on tour, and when I came back, my wife, and I, just days after we'd moved to this house, all the things were in boxes all over the house, and I said, bye then. And I went to Australia for 3 months. And when I got back, she'd sorted all the boxes out. It's fantastic. And had painted almost the entire house mauve.
Oh, wow. Immediately devaluing it.
Immediately making it worth no more than 25,000.
Did she mishear you when you said, you mauve in and I'll go off to Australia?
It was Movember.
I think she did it so that she would never have to decorate again, which has been the case.
Because, wise. Yeah. A wise woman. Or a colourblind woman, we don't know.
We don't know, one or the other. It was a strange house we moved into. These people had this, there was, the person who owned it before was a Carnegie. And I said, a member of the Carnegie family? Jokingly. And he went, yeah, I am actually, yeah.
Wow.
And I went, oh, really? Was sort of a minor member? And he went, well, you know, I mean, I get, I've never worked. I'm an artist. I said, right. Do you paint? No. Are you an artist? And he said, well, sort of, yeah. I mean, I don't like it.
I've got the lifestyle.
And he showed me one of his paintings. He was a terrible painter. Couldn't paint for toffee. But every now and again, he would get an inheritance.
Wow.
Somebody somewhere in the Carnegie family would pass on, and he'd be left some vases or something, and they'd be worth a fortune. And that's how he lived.
When somebody walks through your front door, they're walking into what used to be the Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
How do you get to the Carnegie Hall?
Practice.
You gotta practice.
Yeah.
or move into one of the people's houses.
Brother sorting out your beef.
Shall we solve some beefs? Shall we start solving some beefs? Let's do it. Tom.
Hello.
I believe you've got the first one for today.
I have indeed. This is this is a great title. Domestic Sonic Beef from Charlie. Dear Beef Brothers, and undoubtedly my favourite ever guest. I don't mind that. Charlie's got a silver tongue. I present to you a small niggle of a beef, but I hope you can relate. My wife and I share a sonic toothbrush.
Ooh.
Oh.
Before we go any further, A, yes, we're doing pretty well, thanks. And B, we have two different toothbrush heads and share the one sonic engine.
Mm-hmm. Now, are we imagining that there's two heads that attach at the same time at either end and they just have to brush their teeth with their arms around each other?
In a romantic way.
The couple that brushes together stays together.
Like the end of Requiem for a Dream, only sweeter.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
My beef is that without fail every night, my wife will try and talk to me about the news and tributes from the day. As soon as I have placed the toothbrush in my mouth, adjusted the settings accordingly, and started the brushing process. Now, a sonic toothbrush is loud when it is in your mouth, certainly to the point that I can barely hear anything else. So therefore, what should be a 2-minute process, 30 seconds on each quadrant, takes over 5 minutes if you have to pause and restart the brush over and over again to listen to and answer each moment or question from the day that you think you have heard over the whirring of the engine. How do I get my wife to realise that these 2 minutes are no talk zones and that I am ready to be an excited and engaged husband as soon as this nightly ritual is complete? Yours in beefs, Charlie.
My wife's got the solution, which is fuck off to another room.
Paint the toothbrush mauve. No, yeah.
Go and have a beer.
Have you got, so who here has a sonic toothbrush?
Well, I know, Michael, you bought a sonic toothbrush in 1973 for 8p, didn't you?
It's still got, it's, in fact, it's increased in value since.
But it, solid gold.
I think everybody over the age of 60 was given shares in sonic. I mean, I don't know why they just gave it to us as a present, so you probably need it one
checked
day.
Checked in on the value yet, but I'm sure it'll be.
I don't really know. Is a sonic toothbrush, is that one of those ones that buzzes so fast that it's supposed to knock the plaque off? Is that what a sonic toothbrush is?
Imagine.
I think I don't. I've never heard of a sonic
toothbrush. It can't
think
be good I might for your have teeth,
one.
Can it?
I think Do you've you? Got Do one, you? Ben. Yeah.
Have you?
Because I think Ben's got one, and I think my wife has one. I can't use them because they're like those. They go like go.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rather
yeah.
than like an electric one that goes, it's like more of a, and there's like an intense, like tiny vibration to them.
Mm. Well, clearly, like mine's the intense, the vibration's so intense it just rattles the memory of it out of my brain.
It's clearly causing you some kind of damage. Is that the kind of toothbrush you have, Clarky?
Yeah. That is the kind of. That's the vibe.
So it's do you have a good. Similar experience to Charlie in terms of, do you verify what he says about hearing and the focus that it takes when you're using it?
Well, I will say that actually Megan has like an aversion to people scrubbing their teeth. It goes right through her, the sound of it. So she'll be as far away. Like if it comes on.
That's why she fell in love with you, isn't it? She found out she heard the rumours about your oral hygiene and thought, this is the guy for me.
This is the guy for me, yeah.
Whereas the halo sound of a. Oh, it's like she's being called. It's like a siren call for her.
We should say Megan's a dolphin. We should have stipulated that.
Yeah, so she gets as far away from me as possible whenever I'm scrubbing my teeth, or whenever I'm talking.
I do hope that these that they've thought of that you are there children's versions of Sonic. There must be surely with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, you'd think the Sonic the Hedgehog Sonic toothbrush.
There must be.
I wonder if like if it's just too. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but that'll be true for the entire episode. Is it too powerful for a child's mouth? Is it the sort of thing that you could lose all your baby teeth if you put it in a kid's mouth? Yeah. You'd have to. You know, like you would have the most expensive day for the tooth fairy ever if you stuck it in a child's mouth. I'm sure it feels like you shouldn't really be sticking anything sonic in your head anyway, but especially not if you're a kid.
Yeah, you don't want to say to your treasured 3-year-old, "Come on, darling, approach the sonic engine and open your mouth." Like, it doesn't feel like a responsible parenting sentence, does it?
No. So. Do you think that? So is it a vibration then that's cleaning your teeth?
I believe so.
Is that what it is? So in fact, won't they find eventually that this is rather like heading a football or something and brings on early onset dementia and just your brain being shaken by this thing?
Yeah. It would explain night. A lot of about Ben actually.
Yeah,
Ben, I tell you what. Go and get your sonic toothbrush. Let's have a bit of a life demonstration.
Let's have a listen.
Now I know. I mean, like this isn't really the beef. This is three people trying to get their heads around
what it is.
What a sonic toothbrush
what
is?
What the hell is he talking about?
Isn't what Charlie's problem isn't? I don't know what my sonic toothbrush is.
We'll get round to solving the beef in a second.
In the meantime, surely there's things to be pointed out because I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, I know it's environmentally maybe it's a good idea to use one toothbrush. But if you are able to afford a sonic toothbrush, then I would suggest you could afford two. And maybe your wife wouldn't have to stand there waiting for her turn while you're using it. Yeah. That would be the solution, I would say. Is if she had one as well, you both do it. She can't talk to you while she's got the sonic toothbrush
this
in her mouth.
This is the talk of someone with a triple-locked pension, though.
£75.
How many do you want? Come on.
Just put some of your Guinness royalties to it. They come in every year. Just buy yourself.
I think we get it with... I mean, I think, if we go into Boots, because of the Boots shares we all got. But that was in the days when you could pick up boot shares for pennies. They were nothing.
Right, Clarkey.
I don't think it's Sonic, mate. Actually, this
no, looking at, I looking
I've
at
had,
that.
I've had one like that in the past. This one's an Oral B.
Pop it up to the microphone.
It feels like you've downgraded from the one.
Yeah.
You definitely used to have one that would go, that went,
whoa. Yeah, I used to have one, yeah, definitely, that like that. Well, I don't think that one is.
I can get my wife's if we need this. Do we need this?
If you come back with a vibrator, we're going
to... Yeah, when he comes back...
I'll be furious. She told me it was a toothbrush.
That's a bloody... We're all going... Just got something to tell you. That is not a Sonic toothbrush.
And she's absolutely using it right now while he's recording. I found out a fact about Sonic toothbrushes, though.
Yeah.
We know they use Sonic technology, but... Here we go. We've got a Sonic toothbrush from Tom here. Tom, very quickly, before we turn this on, before you've even heard the Sonic toothbrush, how many times do you think the brush head moves per minute? How many times do you think the brush head moves per minute on a Philips electric Sonic toothbrush? Anyone have any ideas? Per minute, how many times is it? I'll tell you now, it's a wild number.
So I'm going to guess it does... It's 10 a second, so okay. I'm saying 600 times.
600 times a minute. Okay,
I'm going to raise you. I'm going to say 1,500.
I was going to go for 6,000.
Oh.
Because it's Sonic, 6,000. Isn't it?
You've been fooled by the advertising.
Well, no.
I can tell you now.
Wait a second. Before you tell us...
Yeah.
Let me try and count.
Yeah, that's it.
Fair play, it's a lot. Fair play. How can they count?
Well, this is it. I guess they film it and then slow it right down and have someone there with a little ticker. But I can tell you now, Tom. Tom was the closest.
Like record breakers.
Yeah, that's what you need. Norris McWhirter with a clipboard. I can tell you, Tom. You were off to the tune of 90%. It's 62,000 times. A minute, and at that stage,
what?
You may as well say any number. I mean, no one's checking in that instance. So, this brush head moves up to 62,000 times per minute. I'm not putting that in my mouth. No way.
Oh, that's good, because my old one used to do 50,000, and it just wasn't quite cutting it. So that
10,000 times off.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And by cutting it, you of course mean cutting straight through your gums with it.
They are horrible. They are horrible. They make it's such gonna... a. It...
How is your wife feeling about you using it in your own mouth, Tom? I mean, she doesn't know, but
she listens to the podcast, so she'll find out when she listens to this episode. Let's just leave it at that. Oh, it's very intense. And it is. Can you hear that noise? It's like a lightsaber almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That's an annoying mosquito, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So his case does hold up that it's probably too loud to hear what's going on. But I think...
So we've got to the stage now where we believe him. We talked for about 15 minutes and we're now, Charlie, don't worry, we believe you. That's where we are.
So we're an hour into the podcast and we've...
80% of our listeners going, the fuck, they don't know what a sonic toothbrush is. So, I've got a suggestion, which is, you know, when we had the whole happy birthday, wash your hands for happy birthday.
Mm.
What if Charlie comes home and says, oh, I heard a good thing on the radio today. It says, you know, to make sure you're brushing your teeth for the right amount of time. You should brush your teeth for the duration of, and then insert one of his favourite songs.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Although the problem is not him brushing his teeth, it's her talking while he's brushing his teeth.
Yes, but if he says, I'm going to be listening to that song now whilst I brush my teeth.
So I can't hear what you're saying, darling. I'm so sorry, because you're always really fascinating.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it just means we'll have to, you can give me your talk of the day later on.
Oh, if only I could listen to you, because I do love listening to you telling me all the things of the day, but I really need to brush my teeth properly, so I'm going to have to put these very, very efficient headphones on. Is that what you're saying? She's going to fall for that. She'll fall
for that. 45
years of marriage tells me that she's going to fall for that.
Okay, I've got another one.
No, Tom, can I just drill down into that for a second, to use dentist parlance?
Please.
The idea that you could say to somebody, I will listen to you after I finish listening to this song, is absolutely nuts, right? Imagine that outside of the bathroom. imagine if Jane came home and went, what a day I've had. You went, oh, give me one second. I just want to listen to Tiny Dancer, if that's okay. Just as soon as Tiny Dancer's over, then I am all ears. But Elton gets first dibs on this. It's just, yeah.
Okay, this is one then. This, how about this? We've all heard the sound. It's intense.
Yep. Mm.
It's unpleasant, right? So what if you start complaining about hearing loss and you start mishearing and saying, sorry, I didn't, and then say, right, I'm going to go and see a specialist because my hearing isn't what it was. And then you come back and you've printed off a little letter and it says, oh, the sonic toothbrush is damaging my hearing. I'm going to have to wear earmuffs while I clean my teeth. Therefore, because we're dealing with 63,000 movements a second here.
Yeah.
Or a minute, whatever, you know, whatever. You know,
I think it's a minute, but still, it may as well be a second.
I don't think our skulls aren't designed for that amount of movement.
That rattling.
So I'm going to have to really focus in on, you know.
The little bones in your inner ear must be clashing together at some sort of, you know,
You've got to think of my cochlea. And so
I do daily.
Where does he live? Look, I'm going to send him something from one of my pensions. Enough for him to buy another sonic toothbrush, because the solution clearly is for the two of them to say, so that we do it properly, let's start together, darling. Let's clean our teeth together. How romantic is that? So, and they press the button at the same time and they go through the whole process of 30 seconds. They decide 30 seconds. Who does that?
Eyes locked. Honestly.
With the sound of the tinnitus that they'll eventually have in older age.
It's Ben's dream to sit there and clean his teeth with his partner, his partner leaves the house.
If only. Okay.
She swims off.
Put a lock on the bathroom door.
A triple lock.
Pretend you're having a shit.
That's what you need,
A really high-powered vibrating shit.
That's me straining, it's not the toothbrush.
My inner anus can move at 63,000 beats a minute.
In an unrelated point.
Could you put it back onto Charlie's wife and perhaps say, like, make it fun for her, say, look, I love the movie Love Actually. I'm a huge fan of that scene where Andrew Lincoln shows up at the front doorstep and has the big cards. Message of the day, just give me cards of the day. You know, that's then at least it's a fun, you know, you make it into a fun game. Or if that doesn't work, you could say, look, can you speak at a frequency that is higher than the vibration of the sonic toothbrush? You know that you can get like a dog whistle that is like at the highest pitch. You know, maybe just say, look, take elocution lessons and learn to speak at a pitch that's higher than the pitch of the sound.
Is that what they teach at elocution lessons?
I don't know. I've never been to elocution lessons. Listen to me. But yeah, I think plenty of options there anyway.
Can your updates of the day be more... Can there be more of a dog whistle nature to the updates of your day? Isn't necessarily...
Not in a GB News sense.
Don't pop in some anti-immigration vitriol. Can you spice it up a bit, kind of thing?
I do look forward to her standing with her with cards she's written out every night. Great big cards all written on your hand. Don't say anything, just read my cards. I just wanted to say that today I met a man. He's the man of my dreams. I'd like to divorce you.
Oh, the whole time.
I'm taking the toothbrush.
You can afford to buy me another sonic toothbrush, you toy bastard.
The thing that made me fall in love with him was the fact that he was willing to listen to me whilst cleaning his teeth.
His name is Michael Fenton Stevens. he's showered me with toothbrushes.
He's old, but he's rolling in it.
So basically, if you don't want this to end in divorce, then DM Mike on Twitter and he will send you two crisp £50 notes and you can buy yourself a new toothbrush. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I like the idea that all of our beefs tonight are going to be solved by Michael just spending a bit
just
of booze
paying
cash.
For it. Just, don't worry, I'll send you some money.
I'll call Mike, gets the checkbook out.
Checkbook? What do you think I am? I haven't had a checkbook since 1995.
It's how you pay for your third house.
I do know people with checkbooks, though. I see there are some people who still have checkbooks. I found out the other day... somebody told me that they had dinner with Paul McCartney, and at the end of it they said, well, no, look, we'll pay. And he went, no, don't be silly. And he wrote a check, and they said, but oh, come on, you pay for everything. He said, yeah, but they won't cash it.
Amazing.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah, of course. You wouldn't.
Amazing. Yeah.
No. And there was anybody remember John Otway? John Otway and Wild Bill Barrett.
Of course.
Yeah, John Otway
really
had,
free.
Had the hit. Really Free, Really Free, Really,
really free.
Free. He did
really,
some great
really
songs.
Free.
Great songs. My favourite song of his was something that meant that he had a permanent scab in the centre of his forehead, because he used to do a song called Give It Ed Butts.
I remember giving it.
He was saying, I'm walking down the street, turned around, and I saw this bloke, and I thought, oh, Give It Ed Butts. And he used to headbutt the microphone. And that was his song, and it involved him doing it about 30 times a night. So he had this permanent mark there where the thing used to make him bleed. Anyway, he once said to me, you haven't got any money, Mike, have you? He said, oh, do you want a drink? I'll get it. Actually, I haven't got any cash. You couldn't cash a cheque, could you? And I said, have you? I've got some money. He said, got 50 quid? I went, yeah, sure. And I got the 50 quid out, and he started writing this thing. And when he'd had these hits, he'd become a member of Coutts Bank, and they had special Coutts Bank checks made for him. Well, he wasn't anymore because he didn't have any money, but he still had these checks, and he would write them on there for his deposit account, and it had a Coutts Bank and then his name underneath it, and a photograph of him holding a guitar with his hand in the air with a spotlight behind him, looking really cool, you know. And I was about to, and I said, you don't think I'm going to cash this, do you? And he went, what? I said, this is a trick. You do this all the time because the checks cost you £1 and then you get somebody to give you 50 quid for them and then they keep them. And he went, ah, oh, you bastard, you worked it out.
Oh, really good.
So have we sorted his beef?
I think he's solved. Yeah, I think he's solved. Would you like to do the beef that I sent to you, Mike? Do you want to do snake beef?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. This beef is called Sneak Beef, and it's from Ace. It says, "Dear Pappies and Guest, housemate, let's call her Pixie. I should imagine she is called Pixie." came home one day having rescued, in inverted commas, an 11-foot Burmese python from a nightclub. The new addition brings the total number of snakes up to 15.
No.
The smaller ones regularly escape, and I'm told to keep an eye out. Now, it goes on. This housemate uses a medium instead of a vet to diagnose sickness in the snakes. My favourite being when the medium invoked the spirit of Steve Irwin, who told her her snakes are getting ill because she wasn't doing enough yoga.
Oh, my God.
I should say that the place is a squat, but is blankly nodding and generally keeping my mouth shut about all this nonsense really worth not paying rent in London. Yours, Ace Ventura.
If he was a pet detective, he'd have a lot less trouble.
Pet detective, he would, that would solve it, wouldn't it?
That would solve it, if only it was Ace Ventura. Now, this very much is what's, was what your generation has done to the housing market, Mike. Our generation is forced to live in squats with snakes. While you snapped
I didn't
up all the
think
good
people
properties.
Were allowed to live in squats anymore. I think all of us second and third homeowners made sure that that wasn't going to happen.
That's true.
We changed the law, didn't we, so that you couldn't have young people just moving into your London apartments.
Yeah, he's not left an address to keep us out of it.
An 11-foot Burmese python.
One of his family of 15. How are you with snakes? Have you ever worked with any?
I'm fine with snakes. I don't mind snakes at all, actually. I quite like snakes. I've handled all sorts of snakes. My friend, who I started in this business with, Angus Deaton, has a phobia about snakes.
Oh.
He's never seen Indiana Jones, and the first film, yeah. He's never seen it because he was told there was a scene where he fell into the pyramid and there were snakes everywhere. So he can't, he can't watch
it. There's a few. There's one in the third as well, isn't it? When the young River Phoenix falls into the snake. I think he should watch it because he'd have a kindred spirit in Indiana Jones, because Indiana Jones has a phobia of snakes.
Snakes.
He was down to the last two, wasn't he? He was down to the last two.
It was, yeah.
It was him or Ford.
So we're going to do the scene where you fall. No, I can't do that. Blew it, idiot.
But I would say, how good would Harrison Ford have been at hosting Have I Got News For You? I mean, come on, let's be honest.
It's true, it's true. They found that.
The truth is really good.
Yeah.
Well, he has that really slow delivery, doesn't he? So I'm not sure that is perfect for delivering the weekly gags about.
Very true.
He just has a really slow way of talking. That's why those films are so long. Could be done in 10 minutes.
When he was in his obviously 30s, 40s, that gave him gravitas. But now the older he gets, it feels like he doesn't know how he's going to finish his sentence. the publicity tour of the last Indiana Jones film, it was slightly like, but it's obviously it's always been his pace. But now that he's of a certain age, it does have a certain amount of jeopardy to it. That he's going to forget where he is or something.
Did I go for my walk?
We made another film? What? Okay, right.
God, I hope I don't bump into my dad. No, you did that in the last one. What? At the moment where he forgets the gun.
Yeah.
Goes, I'm always doing that. That is that, what's that joke? As I get older, I become more existential. Every time I walk into a room, I think, what am I here for?
Very nice.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to think how I would give Ace advice here, because the idea of living with one snake, let alone small snakes that get out.
Get out.
The idea of just
keep an eye out for them.
Keep an eye out. I couldn't live like that.
It's not relaxing, is it?
No,
I'm not bad with snakes either, but I don't much fancy being in a house where.
And I don't think you do go into. I don't think you get into the squatting scene for relaxing purposes. I think if you're into the squatting scene, you're not like, oh, this is a lovely cozy squat. And the fact that the author's called Ace, you kind of think Ace and the Pythons, it all sounds fucking cool. but it's so not for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't know how to begin to approach it.
There is a possibility, though, isn't there, that, of course, that he's missing a trick here, because I think clearly, if you could get Pixie, if you could... Sorry, I'm thinking this out as I say it.
That's fine. That's exactly how we do it.
If you could get Pixie to go into the main room... This is me pitching for a new TV series. Yeah, right. So I've had this idea. You get Pixie to go and do her yoga in the main room with all the snakes in it, and you compress oh, yeah. the air, so you fix all the gaps in the windows, and you sort of really pump a lot of air into that room. Okay, so
right.
Creating an atmosphere in there that the snakes find enjoyable because it's full of oxygen. So they all gather, all the snakes that have escaped all creep back in again, go ooh, and they get fascinated by this yoga, which is almost like a sort of a snake dance, a snake charmer. She's doing her yoga movements. At that point, you block up the door into the thing with all of her yoga equipment and any other luggage that might be happening to be around, thus trapping all that. Then you open the window suddenly, decompressing the room, and all the snakes are flown out, and you sell the whole idea to Samuel L. Jackson and call it Snakes in a Squat. It could work.
It's good.
That's brought you to stunned silence.
I'm just working out which is the best channel for it, because we're absolutely nicking that idea. I'm gonna pitch that tomorrow morning. I think the problem we have with this is that none of us. I mean, I'm sure even in your early acting days, I can't imagine you were a. You were a squatter, were you?
I was getting ever... 22 grand for...
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't need to
up for any less, would you?
Yeah, we know.
Which property should I buy next?
You weren't one of these people doing, like, in-your-face theatre, were you? You were doing Guinness adverts. No, fair enough. And quite right, too. So I just think we're so out of our depth with this one.
What is squat etiquette? You know,
yeah, quite.
Squat etiquette. What is it? Do you, do you have squat rules?
There's got to be a limit. There's got to be an upward limit of snakes, surely.
In a flat, sure, but in a squat, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's it, because if for example it was, you know, you were all paying like a nominal amount of rent, then you could say, look, in the same way that I've got the big bedroom and I pay a bit more, you've got 15 snakes, you should pay a bit more, right? And then at least it kind of like, there's a bit of yin yang to it, it balances out a little bit. But in this instance, no one's paying anything, so you just have to put up, don't you? It's either put up or start paying, or living in a place in London that charges you, which...
Yeah, that's his problem, you see.
I can't imagine...
Or, you know, if it's a squat and you can bring any animal in you like, then I would start buying mongoose.
Yes,
mongoose or cats are very good with snakes.
Are they? Yeah, there we are. You see, just say, "Oh, look, I've got a whole new menagerie of animals that I brought in."
Barricade yourself in your room with a cat, and you'll be fine. You'll never see a snake.
Are you sure cats can fight snakes?
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
Have you not looked at YouTube?
Yeah, that's it. Cats are incredibly fast. They can rotate at 62,000 per second.
Have you never watched Cat versus Snake? It's on right after Snakes on a Squat. It's really good. It's on as a double bill. Snakes in a Squat and then
they do have those on YouTube, though, don't they? I've never watched them, but somebody told me that you have those. There's a big market for strange creature against strange creature. Little fighting. So like scorpion against tarantula. Ooh. And they put them in a thing and thousands and thousands of people watch the results.
watch them fight to the death. That seems a
not
bit...
Not for me, that.
It's hosted by Craig Charles. It's on Channel 5. It shouldn't really be on, but, you know, it is.
But no one knows it's
on. Beluga whale. He commentated a beluga whale took out a Rottweiler last night. It was amazing.
Occasionally, amazing. It's really unevenly matched. Like, did you see Grizzly Bear versus Stick Insect? It was such a short bout.
Yeah. And then Bear Grylls
snapped him over
versus...
his knee.
That was one tough sticky insect, I don't know.
Yeah. Got straight up his nostril and that was it.
Up Craig Charles's nostril.
Yeah. He called it off.
He thought it was a Friday. One of my concerns is, if you're the guy in the squat who's got a problem with the snakes, are they going to start thinking you're the undercover cop? Do you know what I mean?
Are you the narc?
Are you the narc? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it feels like a test of how down you are with squat life. Maybe.
What were those policemen doing? That was an extraordinary period, wasn't it, when they actually formed relationships with people and lived with them, and they were undercover cops because they thought these people were going to be subversive, so they just followed them. They lived.
They lived for
years with people.
Yeah, extraordinary.
Mad.
Imagine, and some of them even set up a podcast with them and did like a podcast for like 10 years just to try and, you know, had like a middling successful sketch comedian group that, like, the whole time they were an undercover cop and they never let on.
Never let on. Even though they shared a sonic toothbrush. It's amazing.
Or triple ender.
Right, so is our best suggestion mongoose or cat?
Which is also another game we're pitching. We're pitching that to ITV2 tomorrow morning.
Ant and Dec present a member of the public with a barrel. They put their hand in and have to guess if it's a cat or a mongoose.
And it turns out it's a great big blade that's swishing around at 1,000 tons. That's the funny part of it.
Yeah, it's cat or mongoose or Nutribullets. Yeah.
It was another sonic engine, I'm afraid.
Why does he? Why does he pick the name Pixie though? Why has he chosen Pixie as her nom de plume?
Do you think her real name's going to be something like Elf or something like that? And it's he's just shifted a little bit to the left.
I think the chances are, quite often when you've got a pretty nutty posh girl in a squat, she's actually Lady something or other.
That's how it sounds.
She's one of the Carnegies.
With common people. I want to see what common people do.
If I do more yoga, I'll charm the snakes.
Yes, quite.
It's that or she's called Medusa.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we can rule out the fact that all of this scenario is a hallucination, and the Ace is squatting on his own, and he's eating some bad beans.
Ace has gone mad at the draft excluders again. He's lost his mind.
And, you know, if you go down enough of an internet wormhole, maybe we're just part of Ace's hallucination. Let's not scratch that surface. But Ace might. There is a chance that he might think Pixie is an actual Pixie, and that there are no snakes. I'm just saying we can't rule that out.
No,
it's squat life. Anything goes.
Yeah. So you're saying we've been wasting our time on an idiot?
Yeah, but that's just me.
That's sort of the theme of the podcast.
Yeah.
This is where we are on the podcast now. It's like a lot of the time is working out whether or not we believe the people who've written into us. This is what it is. This is what it's become. So I think by a mongoose and beef solved. If indeed this was a beef at all,
Michael, send you £250 notes to buy a mongoose.
Yeah, that's
don't
right.
Worry, don't worry. I'll send you a mongoose, a top quality, or even a mink. You know, I mean, I can afford them.
Why not? I just imagine Michael's wife. Where are you off to, darling? I've just got to pop to London. I'm putting a mongoose in a squat.
Oh, that's the first time this week.
Not again. Oh God. Try not to snore, darling.
Beef solved. I'm
beef
happy.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
We have a beef in from Honey. Listener Honey writes, Dear Pappies and lovely guest, my boyfriend has a borderline obsessive hatred for flies. So far, we have fly nets on the door, but not the windows. No matter the heat, he won't let me open our windows for fear of a fly. I'm boiling. And this came in this week. Mm. So during a heat wave, basically. I'm boiling. And when they do get in, it's my fault. So far, he's hurt a plant and broken a lamp trying to battle the intruders.
What?
How can I get him to fucking chill? That was Honey who wrote that. Thank you, Honey.
Wow.
I like the phrase fucking chill because it suggests that the person who's saying it is not chill.
No. Fucking chill like me.
Can you be a bit more fucking chill like I am?
Good Lord.
Oh, I reckon this one's quite simple, actually. You know those, you can get those.
Is it
kind
by
of
a mongoose?
Yeah.
You ever seen a mongoose go after a fly? My God. It was series two with Craig Charles.
No, you're completely wrong. You need to get snakes.
Yeah, that's it. You need to contact Pixie.
Again, touch
it. Basically, you need to get an old woman. She'll swallow the fly. Now, what happens next?
I don't know why.
It's got a few steps
Just a minute. Perhaps she'll die.
Well, do you know what? In the new version, she doesn't die because my kids have started listening to it. And it's one of those, you know, in the way that they've like, you know, sort of taken out the bits in Roald Dahl about people being ugly or fat or any of that kind of stuff to sort of protect
the
children.
I know an old lady who's swallowed a horse. She's fine.
Of course.
And that is her choice, is how it is. Yeah,
that solved it. Who are we to criticise? Just let people be people, for goodness sake.
We're all going through our own stuff, okay? You just don't know what's going on inside a person. There could be a horse inside there, so just let people handle it and deal with it in their own way, okay? Be kind.
I know an old lady who was a vegan who swallowed a fly. She was so upset, she swallowed some corn.
How does it end now, Matthew?
I'm trying to think of what the final line is. I think it just goes to static on the video.
Panic.
I'll find out and we'll stick it in the intro of the next episode. I'll find out what's happening these days. But you can't be saying people are eating a horse. You know, you don't want to scare kids off horses. I want my daughter to grow up to be a polo player, of course. Mike's sending her a bursary.
I've gone quiet because I'm desperately trying to work out what that last rhyme would be. Once you set that sort of task, you not have a brain like that. Once you say, I think it must be something that makes, and I go, oh, what animal could it be that rhymes with got better or is no longer ill? And I'm trying to think, I've got Duck and Bill, but I can't think of the rhyme that, you know, she recovered. There's no animal that's going to rhyme with that. No. It caught the fly and she's all right now. There's got to be a clean ending. And it's going to keep me awake tonight, that.
Great. When you get it, send it in.
I will, definitely.
Record it and send it to us.
I'll write it on a £10 note and send it to you.
We'll never spend it, you see. It's clever. It's clever.
He's clever. He knows.
He can send us all that money out, but he knows I'm trying to spend it.
It's got the genius ending to the end.
I've sent out 3 million in notes so far, but don't you worry.
So, right, we've got to try and get this boyfriend less scared of flies, mm-hmm. fucking chill, or we've got to get Honey to understand her boyfriend's phobia. It is a bit lame, isn't it, being scared of flies, let's be honest, if it was a wasp.
I tell you, because we have the fly thing. We get flies in our flat. And I'm not scared of them, but I hate it.
When you say the fly thing, do you mean you've got a filthy flat?
Well, this is the thing.
We've got the fly thing in that our flat's covered in shit.
Listen, we've got the shit bucket, yes, but
granted.
But then, come on, which sitting room doesn't?
Yes, and the rotting beef with the maggots. Bound to it. Everybody's got.
Where else are you going to put your rotting beef? So what?
So you, no, in the please, beef please. The number of times I've been asked that question.
What? So do you have a lot of flies, Clarkie?
Yeah, we get flies, man. We get flies.
And are you fucking chill about it, or are you?
We go after them pretty hard with the old fly swatter.
Mm.
Do you know what you can buy now? You can buy a fly shotgun.
I have seen this.
You like cock it, and then it fires a jet of air that kills the wasp, and you can shoot them out of the air or a fly. And so you have, I mean, like it's kind of targeted at Americans, really. You have all the fun of going out and shooting things, but you get to do it with flies in your own home.
Wow, well, maybe, you know, then he could learn to love a fly coming in. You know, if he enjoys the idea of shooting something out of the air with a stream of air that's so powerful, it kills it.
Describe my toothbrush.
I'm not sure. There are, surely, you were talking about those electric things in shops and everything, and they're attracted to them and they just get electrocuted or whatever.
Yeah. But that feels...
That seems also like an American thing. They love that. Gee, let's go watch the flies get electrocuted.
Yeah.
You've got the part.
But what it feels like is you want to get this guy to kind of come to terms with flies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to get him to make his peace with flies, because... I mean, the other thing you could do is you could get... I mean, how is he around spiders? Because obviously that's the natural... I know Clark...
Is this Angus Deaton? Are we still asking about Angus Deaton?
Doesn't like them either.
Okay, good to
But
know,
you
good
are right. In the end, you know, we've got a mongoose getting its snakes. We should get the natural solution. This is an environmental solution. Yeah. We're not spraying the air with aerosols or anything, you know, and trying to kill the fly. We're just saying, well, actually, you know, let's set up a whole ecosystem whereby flies coming into your house is a boon.
Go for the Venus flytrap. If you don't want to get the spider, I mean, a Venus flytrap when you're a kid, so exciting. Mm. It was just so. I haven't seen one in absolutely years. I'm sure they're still around. I'm sure they still exist. They haven't died out. But yeah, this is. Aren't there sort of like much bigger ones? You know, you can buy the little ones in garden centres, but there are big ones that look very little shop of horrors.
Just are you worried that this guy? This guy's probably going to be shit scared of a Venus flytrap as well, though, isn't he?
Is he scared of flies, you think?
The guy's scared of fucking flies, man. He's going to shit himself when he sees a Venus flytrap and what they do.
Is the problem that the girl who's written this in is called Honey? Is that the reason the house is full of flies?
Do you think she is a jar of honey?
We accept all listeners.
Stay away from her.
You've left the door ajar, honey.
Jar of honey. They if in fact this whole thing is, there's nets up apparently, are there, over all the windows? They put fly
nets
netting
over the nets doors. Over the doors,
so she can't
and
open,
they won't
over
open
the door
the
and the window, so she can't open the window, can't get any fresh air. Well, air conditioning unit, that's another solution.
Again, more money. Throw more money at the problem.
I've got several. You get them on the NHS when you're over 65.
Is the answer, and I don't mean to be brutal about this, but is it a boyfriend with a bit more of a backbone?
Oh no, we can't do that. Hold on.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's not beat around the bush here.
Do you think that if you've got one of those guns that fires out a puff of air, it might kill the boyfriend? Do you think, is that what you're trying to say?
Is there an immersion therapy type element to this whereby...
Smear him in shit. That's number one.
Dirty bros.
Take him down. Hang him from the ceiling like one of those sort of sticky tape things that they use to catch flies.
Cover him in flypaper, yeah. Just... And just get used to the idea. Open all the windows.
I mean, the problem may well be that he won't open the windows and the bloody flies can't get out. I always find the solution with a fly is, if you've got a fly in the house, open the windows and they will go out. They buzz around for ages trying to find a way out of your living room. And that's why they head towards the television when it gets dark, don't they? Because they think, there it is, a light source. It must be the way out. So open the windows.
Has Attenborough done a deep dive on flies? Because is there an element of, if he comes to understand flies and appreciate them, then he might learn to get along with them?
Well, Blue Bottle Planet.
He could watch he could watch The Fly.
Yeah,
it's a great film about it all.
Great film.
I don't know if that'll give you more of an understanding, doesn't it?
I mean, it just becomes one with a fly.
And it doesn't go great for him, does it, for Brundlefly?
Doesn't Goldblum spew on his own food and then eat it a lot?
And his skin starts peeling off.
Yeah,
I mean, and he kills himself at the end. Spoiler alert!
You just like the bit early on when he used to just be able to walk up a wall.
Yeah,
oh, that's good. I want to be
the ceiling and stuff. It's great.
Fantastic.
Just a really bulging eyes.
Really good at arm wrestling.
You can do. Wasn't there a trick that you used to talk about when you were a kid about putting a fly on a piece of string so that you could take it for a walk? That if you get a fly in a jar,
but you used to, who talked about this?
It was all the talk in the playground.
The talk of the town.
You put a fly in a jar. You put the jar in the fridge, and then a cold fly goes to sleep.
No, you put it in the freezer, don't you?
Right, there you go. You put it in the freezer.
Corrected, Tom. You were absolutely right.
It was all the rage in about 1989 or something.
It was like you put a cotton to it.
Yeah, tie a bit of cotton to it, and then suddenly you're walking around town with a fly on a piece of string. Like, is it worth that in getting to know one fly, and then, you know, going, okay, this fly seems... I mean, I don't know how our fly's okay.
Do you mean have a pet fly that he's going to fall in love with?
Possibly. It could be a start.
Yeah.
Either that or just go to a fucking gym and get a guy with more backbone. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You can't do this.
I like the idea of him with, you know, with his little pet, Philip the Fly.
Oh, nice.
That's nice.
You know, for just buzzing around his head, tied to a piece of cotton. There's a Gerald Durrell's book, My Family and Other Animals. There was a man in there called the Beetle Man who used to walk around from village to village selling flying beetles, which again he'd attached to pieces of string. So he'd have them buzzing around his head all day long.
Lovely.
And,
I think there's something in it. Put that theory to the test of putting a fly in the freezer and sticking it on a lead.
There you go. We're all going to do that, in fact. I'm now looking around the room thinking, are there any flies? The quandary with that is, he can't catch the flies to get rid of them. So how's he going to catch the fly to put it in a freezer?
Yeah, I think honey needs to do it.
Sorry, can I just stop you for 1 second? My both of them have died now. And I'm going to have to go back and see if the other one is charged enough for me to use it for the rest of this recording. When I come back, I've got some absolute gold that I wasn't able to say because my headphones were dying. So
good. In the meantime, of course, he can't hear a word we say. So anyway, he's a shit, isn't he?
Yes. I mean, I still can hear you because I've got the speakers coming through on the MacBook.
When he says he's got gold, he means he's got fuck on. The guy's a real wank. He can still see.
Tell you what, we should put him in the freezer.
Tie a little rope on him.
A little bit of cotton.
I thought Matthew was going to stop us and say, we finished, guys. That was brilliant. We've done an hour. I was like, that's great.
Lovely. That's good enough for me.
He's
Hang on. I'm back.
He's coming back with his gold.
I've got. You're going to love
this. He's got gold. And we need it. Let's face it. You can't get any more. I've been squeezed like a lemon.
You've really built this up.
There's no more humour coming out of me.
Finish on a high note.
No. I've done all my anecdotes today because I've spent the day with Tom Baker. So obviously, you know.
Yeah.
That's anecdote heaven.
You're a husk.
I am.
No offence, but you've been an absolute husk tonight. Right. Crossbow, are you with us?
Hang on, guys. Hold tight. But don't you worry about this. I'm back.
Oh, here he is.
Yes, here I am.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the great thing about this is not had much of a build-up. but, you know, it's funny, Michael, you were talking about the Beetle Man. And I had dinner with the Beetle Man the other day, and I offered to pay. And then he wrote a check and said, don't worry, they won't cash it.
Yeah, lovely. Hey, lovely. Lovely.
If they nicely hadn't been... If there hadn't been the delay,
podcast solved.
Well, podcast over, I would say forever. Have we in the interim, while I was fiddling around with my headphones, have we solved anything?
Oh yes. Yeah. We cleared that one.
There you go, honey. Thanks for writing in. if you'd like to have your problem solved, just like honey, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch. Or you can obviously call the hotline on this number. 0208 123 3272. Right, so we've come to the end of the podcast now. This has been a real pleasure. We could have talked for absolutely hours, but unfortunately my headphones keep giving out, so I could have let you talk a word.
And come 9 o'clock, we have to turn the electricity off because we just can't afford it in London.
We just can't. I know we can't. What an absolute treat, Michael. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's lovely. They're really good fun to chat with you. I'm sorry, I'm very annoying.
You're an absolute gem. Thank you so much for coming. Would you like to tell people about your brilliant podcast? Because it really
is. Yeah, I do a podcast called Off Menu with
He just bankrolls it. He's not on,
he pays for the food.
I let the boys do it and I just take their dosh. I do a podcast called My Time Capsule, which is really good fun. I talk to people about five things from their life that they wish they had in a time capsule, four things that they cherish, and one thing that they'd like to put in there and forget. And that's it. And we talk about all sorts of things, and we have sometimes a riotous time, and other times really moving and extraordinary things happen. So, I love doing it. It's great fun. So have a listen if you like, if you're over 50.
Which I would say most of our listeners that don't live in squats are. Definitely we'll put a link in the show notes. But Mike, it's been such a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
Total pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
I did enjoy that episode. I enjoyed it so much, actually.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure. And do listen to Mike's podcast. It's great. It's really,
what,
really
what,
fun.
What did you choose to go into your time capsule?
Well, you'll have to listen. I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to give it away for free. That's
good. Pappy's T-shirt.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the Pappy's T-shirts, Dom. That would. Yeah. I mean, well, we could talk about it. Maybe we'll talk about that in a different podcast on the Patreon. Well, where
I'm just saying, if they're in the time capsule, then that'll explain why they're not getting sent out.
Clarky sent out a couple the other day, didn't you, Clarky? Do you remember I sent those addresses?
About that. Yeah.
Oh, you have? No, you didn't.
They haven't technically left yet. But
that was like 2 months ago. I sent
because
you
because of all the flies.
It's because of all the moths.
Clarky,
there will be a
God's
mongoose
sake
delivering those t-shirts to you. If you remember the Patreon. And you know what? Why not join the Patreon today? There's never been a better time. We've never been more on top of our game in terms of sending out the merch. So join the Patreon today at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
Do you think when we're old, do you think the world will be so bad that when we're old, this will feel good?
Oh, and the award for bleakest statement of 2023 goes to Tom Parry. It really was. It's been a wonderful year, 2023. And let's just look back on some of Tom's bleakest bits. Do you think when we're old, this will feel good? Tom, I can tell you now, we are old and nothing feels good. Right. So please join the Patreon to pay for the later life care that we already need. I get the feeling
the end of year care that we need, let alone end of life care, just get us to December the 31st, guys.
Oh boy, we're not going to make it through 2023. We're going to be the last ones out, the last boys out of 2023. Oh boy, oh boy. They didn't make it past Christmas, and Christmas for them was October 10th.
That's the reason they brought it forward. Oh, they didn't fancy their chances of getting to December.
But by the way, guys, if you would like to send us a beef or a question of any kind, for example, when we get old, will this feel good? Yeah. Do of course use the hotline on 0208 123 3272, or to put it another way,
0208 123 3272.
And of course the email is still there as well, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. The email is not going anywhere. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We might be going somewhere, but the email
will remain.
We're not
going to make it to the end of this episode, let alone the end of the year.
But honestly, that email address is locked in. It's not going to be going anywhere. Don't you worry about that.
That's the
only thing you can rely on in these turbulent times.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to have an email address that hasn't changed in the 3 years we've been doing Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Right.
Bit of stability.
Exactly. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch today. Or if you want to, you can WhatsApp the if you think, "Oh, I just want to write a couple of lines." They don't have to be great tomes. If you just want to write a couple of lines, you can WhatsApp us. You can WhatsApp us to the hotline, which is 0208 123 3272, and we'd love to hear from you folks. Tom, let's wrap it up. We've got to end it here, guys.
We've got to end it. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution. Caution
team.
And cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.